Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
So here's the deal. You absolutely have a right to be rich. And the question is, why are you not rich? Here's the reasons. There's no other reasons than this. One can be ignorance, that a person does not know that there is wealth for them in the world. That's one. Number two, a person does know there's wealth in the world. They know there's wealth in the world, but they don't necessarily believe it's for them or that they can do what's necessary in order to do it. Number three, they just don't want it. They don't want it. And in many cases, they're actually too lazy to discipline themselves to do the things that are necessary. And I have to tell you that from a doing standpoint, it's not all that difficult. But what I want to focus on today most is the idea that you have a right to be rich. I struggled with this myself. It was actually part of my journey. And I had questions in my mind because I had conflicts. And conflicts were the way that I was being raised about work and people and how society worked. Probably about 90% of the information that I got in that area from the time I was born until I was an adult was wrong. It was all based in fear and lack. And then I had a religious upbringing. I was raised Catholic, and there were tremendous conflicts with God, with sex, with money, especially, and so that created a lot of conflict for me. And then there was kind of the political idea where, and it's I shouldn't just say political because I don't really want to blame politics on this. I don't think that it's necessarily a political agenda. I think they use this as part of a political agenda, which is that rich people are greedy, corporate America is greedy, and I think that that's a very wet blanket to throw over the idea of wealth, when the truth is that it doesn't matter what it is in the world, you can find good and bad in everything. But we're pretty much raised with this idea with all these conflicts, and then you've got somebody plants this one in your mind, you better be safe than sorry through your life. So you pick a lane that is relatively safe, generally something that's familiar, generally something that is within the realm of what you think you can be, do, and have in life, and very few people ever break it. Now, the truth is more and more people are breaking it every year. We have more millionaires now than we've ever had in history. There's two big reasons for that. One is that information is more readily available to people where they wouldn't be able to get that information prior because they would be isolated in communities where they couldn't get that they couldn't get the information about how to become wealthy. Technology is allowing people, making it easier for people that don't necessarily have the traditional education or skill sets in becoming wealthy, and they can find different ways to become wealthy without a formal education, so to speak, because a formal education really has nothing to do with being wealthy. But what a formal education has done in history is it's opened doors for a lot of people. And the idea that the more people that become rich, the more people that will become rich. Because it's one of those things where the more society is exposed to it, the more people will pick up on it, and the more people will actually be able to do it. But the book that cleared this up for me, that really brought everything into alignment, when I picked it up somewhere in the mid-90s, was Wallace Wattles' book, The Science of Getting Rich. And the first chapter of the book is called Your Right to Be Rich, The Right to Be Rich. And that's kind of what I want to take you through today, because I think that we have to clearly understand something very important. Though we do have a right to be rich, We can't come at it from a place of entitlement, and we definitely can't come at it from a place of that somebody's going to give this to us. Everything that we need for every single person is already here on the planet, in the universe, in ideas, in energy, in spirituality, whatever you want to call it. But we have to develop the awareness and the skill sets to go after it. And here's the other thing about being wealthy. You don't have to be some genius intellect or academic to be able to do it. And in many cases, people that do have that gets in the way for a while because a lot of things in academia kind of move people away from the idea of being rich. There's no right or wrong in being rich either. You take any human, being wealthy is like a magnifying glass, right? If you're a good person, it'll magnify your goodness in the world. If you're an asshole, it'll magnify your assholeness in the world, period. End of story. It's not that it changes people. It brings out and magnifies more of who they really are. Okay. So those are all that last part there it's a story. It's not true. It's a story very often used by people that don't have to make people that do have wrong. All right, so let's dig into this thing here. Waddle says, right in the very beginning, he challenges us. Whatever may be said in praise of poverty, the fact remains that it is not possible to live a really complete or successful life unless one is rich. Now, just stop right there for a moment, because this requires, like, if you react to this, I mean, some people might go, oh, I agree with that. Some people might go, that's complete bullshit, or react in various different negative ways of disagreement around it. But the truth is that we have to really think about this statement, because number one, what we have to be very careful of doing is putting any kind of a definition on rich as far as amount of money that we have. He goes on to explain in this chapter why this is important, because if we're not rich in every area of our life, then we're dealing with shortcomings. We're not getting everything that we need for the expansion of life. But rich does not mean having a lot of money. Wealth does not mean having a lot of money. Let me give you a new definition for this that I think that will benefit you for the rest of your life. Being wealthy or being rich is really based on your ability to manifest whatever amount of money you need, whenever you need it, for whatever it is that you need it for. When you have that awareness, when you have that psychology, when you have that emotional maturity, and when you develop that skill set, you're rich, whether you actually have cash in your hand or not, because you have the ability to bring it into your life whenever you need it and for whatever it is that you need it for. This will cause a person to stop worrying, to stop living in fear, to stop living in poverty, to stop making decisions about things from a place of what they don't have in life. And it will really allow them to expand any area of their life that they want to, with much more ease, because they have the tool that has been given to us that allows us to create expansion in our life. And that is the tool of money. And money is a tool. He says, no person can rise to his greatest possible height in talent of soul development unless he has plenty of money. For to unfold the soul and to develop the talent, he must have things to use. And he cannot have things unless he has money to buy them. Man develops his mind, his soul, and his body by making use of things. And society is so organized that man must have money in order to become the possessor of things. Therefore, the basis of all advancement for man must be the science of getting rich, meaning that the first thing that has to happen, and why would we be going through this information now, is to help develop and create the awareness that not only is it out there, this money, It's out there in abundance, and it's out there for you to use. The object of all life is development. It's constantly moving forward, constantly developing. And everything that lives has an inalienable right to all the development that it's capable of attaining. Man's right to life means his right to have the free and unrestricted use of all things which may be necessary to his fullest mental, spiritual, and physical unfoldment. Or, in other words, his right to be rich. In this book, I shall not speak of riches in a figurative way. To be really rich does not mean to be satisfied or contented with a little. No person ought to be satisfied with a little if he's capable of using and enjoying more. The purpose of nature is the advancement and the unfoldment of life, and every person should have... We got a stick page here. I got it. All that can contribute to the power, elegance, and beauty, and the richness of life. To be content with less is sinful. Now, why would that be sinful? It's sinful because it goes against the fundamental reason that we're here, which is to expand, to grow, to better ourselves, and to better humanity. The person who owns all he wants for the living of all the life if he is capable of living is rich. And no person who has not plenty of money can have all he wants. Life has advanced so far and become so complex that even the most ordinary man or woman requires a great amount of wealth in order to live in a manner that even approaches completeness. Every person naturally wants to become all that he is capable of becoming. This desire to realize innate possibilities is inherent in human nature. We cannot help wanting to be all that we can be. Success in life is becoming what you want to be only by making use of things, and you can have the free use of these things only as you become rich enough to buy them. To understand the science of getting rich is, therefore, the most essential of all knowledge. There's nothing wrong in wanting to get rich. The desire for riches is really the desire for a richer, fuller, and more abundant life. And the desire is praiseworthy. The person who does not desire to live more abundantly is abnormal. And so is the person who does not desire to have money enough to buy all that they want is also abnormal. Now, why is this abnormal? And are we saying something is wrong with the person? We're not saying something's wrong with the person. We're saying that there is some kind of value conflict going on in the person's mind where they've been taught at some level that making more money is wrong. One of the fundamental things about spirituality that screws this up for most people is that there's this idea that wanting things in life is not spiritual. And that's very much taken out of context because we just take that statement and we just plaster it all over everything. And the idea is that the truth in that statement is this, that getting more things in life is not going to make you more of a person in and of itself. It is the growth that you become in the process of the achievement of a goal, in the process of becoming wealthy, in the process of helping other people. You mature, you emotionally mature, you intellectually mature. You develop yourself into a person that is nothing but a benefit to themselves and to society. It makes a lot of sense when we really start to think about the idea that the more we grow, the more benefit we are to everybody else. We're not a drain on society. We're not taking from society, okay? All right, let's go on. There are three motives for which we live. We live for the body, we live for the mind, and we live for the soul. No one of these is better or holier than the other. Each is desirable, and no one of the three, body, mind, or soul, can live fully, if either of the others is cut short of a full life of expression. Now, we have to remember, everything is spiritual. Nothing escapes it. If you come from the idea that the universe is all, or that God created all, then there's nothing that's not spiritual. Is there good and bad within that idea of spirituality as a whole? Well, I like to think of it like this. There's either things that are moving us into the idea of more life, or there are things that are taking us away from the idea of more life, which in this case means poverty, not having enough to develop yourself or take care of yourself or help anybody else. It is not right or noble to live only for the soul and deny the mind or the body, which a lot of people are taught. And it's wrong to live for the intellect and deny the body and the soul. That's just when we're focused on academic, or when we have attributed everything that we are, our self-esteem, our self-worth, to the idea that we're an academic person or an academic high achiever. We are all acquainted with the loathsome consequences of living for the body and denying both the mind and the soul. And we see that real life means the complete expression of all that man can give forth through the body, the mind, and the soul. They're congruent. They're in integrity. They're working together. No person is happy or satisfied unless his body is living fully in every function, and unless the same is true of his mind and his soul. Wherever there is unexpressed possibility or function not performed, there is unsatisfied desire. Now think about that. Wherever there is unexpressed possibility or function not performed, there is unsatisfied desire. That is something that is taking place inside of us. If we're not expressing the possibility of who we are and what we could be, there's unsatisfied desire. That leads to misery, poverty, suffering, illness, unhappiness, bad relationships, working, doing things that you don't like. He really gives us a really good crack open of awareness in this next sentence. He says, desire is the possibility seeking expression or function seeking performance. So there's a tremendous amount written about the idea that desire is a bad thing. It is not true. Desire is how God or the universe speaks with and through us to be more, to do more, and have more in the world, to become a whole, complete, living individual. People cannot live fully in body without good food, comfortable clothing, and warm shelter, and without freedom of excessive toil. Rest and recreation are also necessary to their physical life. A person cannot live fully in mind without books or information and time to study them, without opportunity for travel and observation, without intellectual companionship. To live fully in the mind, you must surround yourself with all of the objects of art and beauty that you're capable of using and appreciating. To live fully in the soul, man must have love, and love is denied by the expression of poverty. And people ask me frequently, well, why is that? Because we're here to give. We're here to build ourselves up and then give to our fellow man, which is an act of love. If we're in poverty, it's the less that we can give. Now, poverty is not a state of being. It's a state of mindset. It's a state of mindset, meaning that if I'm poverty in my mind, if I'm poverty in my intellect, if I'm poverty in my emotions, if I'm poverty in my skill set, I do not have much to give. And if it gets too bad, all I can do is take, because I'm needy at that point. And I have to get what other people have just so that I can be somewhat fulfilled at the level of survival in my own life. Man's highest happiness is found in the bestowal of benefits on those he loves. Love finds its most natural and spontaneous expression in giving. The person who has nothing to give cannot fill his place as a husband, a wife, a father, a mother, a citizen, or a person. Again, because all they can do is take at that point. It is in the use of material things that people find full life for their body, development for their mind, and they unfold their soul. It is therefore of supreme importance that you should be rich. It is perfectly right that you should desire to be rich. If you are a normal man or woman, you cannot help doing so. It is perfectly right that you should give your best attention to the science of getting rich, for it is the noblest and most necessary of all studies. If you neglect this study, you're derelict in your duty to yourself, to God, and to humanity. For you can render God and humanity no greater service than to make the most of yourself. And to make the most of yourself, the only thing that we can do, right, is to work on ourselves, to develop ourselves, so that we're not needy upon society, so that we have the ability to give, so that we have the ability to contribute to the world. This is so very important. And it becomes very difficult if we have a conflict in our mind that says money is not okay or material things are not okay. As we develop ourselves to the point where we can create a product or a service, something of value that we can sell to or give to our fellow man, we're contributing to the life of those individuals. As they purchase those things from you, they contribute to your life with the exchange of money. As you then continue to grow, you might build a business, you may have employees, you may give to charity, you may be a philanthropist, you may do things with that money outside of your own family to then help other people reach the same level of development in their life. You may mentor, you may coach someone, you may inspire people, you may show them the same way down the road. The difficulty, well, I don't know that it's so much of a difficulty as it's a difficulty for most people to understand, is that the idea is that we don't become rich as an end destination. It's not about do everything that you can to be rich and everything is going to be okay. Like I said before, it is about the understanding, the awareness, the maturity, and understanding how the universe works in this process. That's what Waddell's book is all about. And there's been many books that have been written about this that show us how to develop ourselves to the point where we're constantly in the ability to receive from the universe and other people and then transmute that reception into something that we can give back of greater value. And then we benefit everybody. And if everybody does this, then the whole world lifts itself up. And ideally, if the whole world does that, there is no need for the problems that we have on the scale that we have them. It's very interesting because the problems that we have created in humanity come from untruths. They come from false beliefs. They come from superstitions. They come from the idea that there's not enough. They come from manipulative people who seek to get for themselves without benefiting anybody else. And a person, when they develop into that type of a person, that person is, you know, they're spiritually sick, meaning that there's so much that they're not aware of. They've been damaged in some way. There's trauma in their life somewhere. And what they've done is they've learned that manipulation is the only way to survive. So when we see people manipulating and competing in order to make themselves feel better without actually growing into maturity, without actually becoming more of the essence of what life is, which is to contribute, then it becomes a very self-centered idea. And that's where people that don't have much look at those individuals and say, money corrupted those people. Money did not corrupt those people. Those people were corrupt from something that happened in their childhood. And it developed corruption and manipulation in their mind. We're a child of the universe. And that means that everything that we need for the expansion of that idea must already be here, or we wouldn't be here. We have the highest intellect of any known living thing on this planet, which means that we have great gifts and faculties that we can take into our life, and we can do things for others and expand our own life and continue to create and move forward. But we have to understand where riches actually come from, what they're for, and how to develop in a mature way into that place. And the thing that one of the things that I see people struggle with along this journey is giving up the idea that there's not enough and reversing the programming in their mind of living in a way where there's not enough. That means you stop making decisions based on what you don't have, and you start making decisions based on what you desire, and you follow up that desire with disciplined action so that you have the contribution of money for the fulfillment of that desire. And in that way, everybody expands. Everybody that we touch expands. We lift ourselves up. We also lift up other people. Probably the biggest difference in this is a person seriously has to want to change, and they're going to have to want to study. If they're not willing to study, if they're not willing to apply, if they're not willing to have some level of patience and learn, then they're never going to understand this. We don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live in paranoia. We don't have to live in anxiety. We don't have to live 1 foot out of the grave or 1 foot in the grave. We don't have to live in a way where basically we're just barely surviving. We don't have to live that way. But you have to make a conscious choice to change it, regardless of what's going on around you. That responsibility falls squarely in your lap. And responsibility, as I've said many times, is one of the first things for us to grasp so that we can begin to take this information in and take responsibility in our life. Because you, my friends, have the absolute right to be rich. Go out and do it.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.